have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
She had a dream that she could do it, and how she lost her way and didn't stick to it. She wanted the house, the cars, the money. She did all that she could. In her mind, she was so focused, doing overtime in the diner. Just wanted someone to wine and dine her. She didn't believe in herself.
Believe in yourself. You can do it. Believe in yourself. Ain't nothing to
yourself. Believe in yourself. Even if nobody does.
Believe in yourself. Believe in yourself.
Believe in yourself. Even if nobody does. Don't let nobody tell you that you can't when you can. Don't let nobody tell you that you can when you can. Don't let nobody tell you that you can't when you can. That you can when you can. She was diagnosed with cancer, going to the doctor for some answers. They said she wouldn't make it, she couldn't take it. She did all that she could, getting sick from the chemo. Bank account started looking real low. She knew she could make it, she wouldn't take it. She believed in herself.
Believe in yourself.
Believe in yourself, even if nobody does.
Believe in yourself.
Believe in yourself.
Believe in yourself.
Believe in yourself, even if nobody does. Don't let nobody tell you that you can't when you can. Don't let nobody tell you that you can when you can. Don't let nobody tell you that you can't when you can.
Oh,
yeah, you can. Let nobody tell you that you can when you can.
Oh, you can make it. Yes, you can. You can make it. You can make it. You can make it. You can make it. Believe in yourself.
Don't let nobody tell you that you can't when you can. Don't let nobody tell you that you can when you can. Don't let nobody tell you that you can't when you can. Don't let nobody tell you that you can when you can. Don't let nobody tell you that you can't when you can. Don't let nobody tell you that you can when you can. Don't let nobody tell you that you can't when you can. Don't let nobody tell you that you can when you can.
And now it's time for our Faithful Financial Moments with Sister Sharon Richard.
This is Sharon Richard with your Faithful Financing Moment. The Lenten season is approaching, the time of year when many of us make sacrifices to give honor to God for the ultimate sacrifice that was made for us. The word sacrifice means that we give something that we would rather not, but we do it anyway for some greater good. What are you willing to sacrifice this Lenten season? Many will fast by giving up meat, sweets, or something else that they believe they tend to do in excess. Why not consider making a financial sacrifice? Emphasis on giving to churches and charitable organizations is usually most heightened around the Thanksgiving and Christmas holiday season. However, remember that there are so many that are less fortunate than ourselves. Most charitable organizations financially struggle to support the needs of the many worthy causes, both locally and around the world. So why not sacrifice perhaps monies that you budgeted for entertainment this month and give it to a friend in need, a church, or the charitable organization of your choice? You may also choose to donate some of your time to help those in need. In Acts chapter 20, verse 35, Paul said, "I show you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." Giving of ourselves, our time, talents, and our money is a great way to change the lives of others and for us to enrich our own lives by honoring God through our giving. Although it often seems as though I do not have enough time in the day to allocate towards something else, I have never regretted time spent helping others, and somehow I actually find that God helps me to become more productive with the remainder of my time such that I don't even miss a beat. The Lenten season is a time to reflect and meditate on the sacrifices of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What better way to honor him than to give to someone in need, just as he gave of himself to save us? This is Sharon Richard with your Faithful Financing Moment. Up next, Nina Taylor with your Gospel News, followed by the Pastor's Corner, and it's Ladies' Night, so stay tuned.
Hi, everybody. I'm Nina Taylor, and here's this week's Gospel News. As a member of the Clark Sisters, Karen Clark cheered. She is part of one of the most popular contemporary gospel groups of the 80s and 90s. She started singing with the group at the age of 7. She started her solo career in 1997. She was inspired to strike out on her own by producer-songwriter Stanley Brown. He had heard her sing Don't Give Up on the Island Inspirational All-Stars with Kirk Franklin, Donald Lawrence, and Hezekiah Walker, and suggested that she work on a solo project. With the blessing of her sisters, Karen Clark Sheard decided to make a solo project for Island Inspirational Records. As a result was the album Finally Karen, which was released in the fall of 1997. The album was produced by Donald Lawrence, James Moss, and Stanley Brown, and featured large portions recorded live in Detroit with the Tri-City Singers, a success on both the R&B and gospel charts. Finally Karen was nominated for a Grammy, and Karen Clark Sheard spent the next few years on tour. After a minor surgery unexpectedly resulting in a near-death experience, she was inspired to write her next album, Second Chance. Unlike her debut project, Second Chance was recorded entirely in the studio. The Heavens Are Telling and It's Not Over continued to fare well commercially and keep Karen Clark Sheard on the charts. 2010 studio album All in One was the first release on her own label, Carew Records, charting at number 3 on the gospel charts and cracking Billboard's top 100. 5 years later, in the summer of 2015, Karen Clark Sheard released a live album, Destined to Win, which became her most successful album to date. This week in Black history, we remember Madam C.J. Walker. Born in 1867, 2 years after the end of the Civil War, she was the first Black woman millionaire in America and made her fortune thanks to her homemade line of hair care products for Black women. Born Sarah Breedlove to parents who had been enslaved, she was inspired to create her hair products after an experience with hair loss, which led to the creation of the Walker System of Hair Care. A talented entrepreneur with a knack for self-promotion, Walker built a business empire, at first selling products directly to Black women, then employing beauty culturalists to hand sell door to door. The self-made millionaire used her fortune to fund scholarships for women at the Tuskegee Institute and donated large parts of her wealth to the NAACP, the Black YMCA, and other charities. She was born in December of 1867 in Louisiana to sharecroppers. Sarah was the fifth child and was the first in her family to be born free after the Emancipation Proclamation. Her early life was marked by hardship. She was orphaned at six, married at 14 to Moses McWilliams, with whom she had a daughter in 1885, and became a widow by the age of 20. Her products like Wonderful Hair Grower, Glossine, and Vegetable Shampoo began to gain a loyal following, changing her fortunes. In 1908, Walker opened the beauty school and factory in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, named after her daughter. In 1910, she moved her business headquarters to Indianapolis, Indiana, a city with access to railroads for distribution and a large population of African American customers. At the height of production, the Madam C.J. Walker Company employed over 3,000 people, largely black women who sold Walker's products door to door. Madam C.J. Walker died at her country home in Irvington on the Hudson on May 25, 1919, at the age of 51, of hypertension. Her plans for her Indianapolis headquarters, the Walker Building, were carried out after her death and completed in 1927. Today, she's remembered as a pioneering black female entrepreneur who inspired many with her financial independence, business acumen, and philanthropy. Here's this week's top 10 gospel songs. Number 10, Doe with her song Brighter. Number 9, Rudy Currents and Chrisette Michelle with No Greater Love. 8, Juan Winans featuring Deborah Joy Winans, Never On My Own. 7, Tasha Cobbs Leonard, Gotta Believe. 6, Kenny Lewis and One Voice featuring Charles Jenkins, He's Been Good. 5, Elevation Worship and Maverick City Music with Gyra. 4, Ernest Pugh, Thank You So Much. 3, CeCe Winans, Believe For It. Number 2, Dante Bowe, Joyful. And our new number 1 song comes from the group Fire with Fix It. Well, that's your top 10 songs, your moment in black history, and your gospel news. I'm Nina Taylor. Let's get back to more great gospel music on this great station.
Hello, I'm Nina Taylor, your gospel news reporter, and you're listening to The Pastor's Corner with my friend, Elder Ernest Richard, on Elation Radio.
Well, I am not Bishop Elect Richard, but welcome to The Pastor's Corner. It is the ladies' night. We have a great, great podcast for you tonight, and I just want to thank First Lady for this wonderful, I love her her advice on finances, and I thank you so much for that. And Nina Taylor, thank you so much for bringing the gospel news to us every week. This is an awesome time, and I want to just thank you, Bishop Elef, for giving us the opportunity to fellowship with one another. And before we begin, let me introduce to you the speaker for tonight. Her name is Dr. Booker Young. How you doing, my sister?
Good evening. How are you this evening?
I am doing great. Yes, and I'm going to bring up the ladies, and I'm going to give you the mic and go from there. I can't wait till we, you know, take bread into this wonderful discussion that you have for us. So thank you so much for coming on and
thank you.
Sharing your gift.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm, like I said, I'm elated to be here. I thank everyone. I am Eunice Young Booker. I'm happy to be here. I'd like to start off just to read my scripture, and then we'll go into other things. But my scripture, which you probably had a copy of it, is going to be taken from 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, the 4th through the 6th verse. And it reads, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God, to pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having the readiness, having in a readiness to avenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. I say again, good evening, ladies, and thank you for having me. Let me ask you a question before we get started. When you first heard that I was coming on, or if you heard that Dr. Eunice Young Booker was coming on, what was your first thought, the first thought that came to your mind? Don't tell me. Let me just think about it. You probably, if it were me, I would have said, who is she? I don't know her. Is she any good? I don't know her. Let me call somebody and see if they know her. And if you called someone and they didn't know me, in your mind you would be thinking, I don't know who this woman is. Well, this goes both ways. When I got the message to ask to speak, I said to myself, who are these people? I don't know them. Are they people that, where are they? Do I know? Should I be there? Do I want to be there? Well, of course I want to be there because God wants me to be there. But I asked myself, who are they? And then I talked to someone and I said, who are the people that I'm going, who are my audience? And the person told me, when they told me, they said, well, let me tell you, you're meeting with a group of seasoned believers, strong people in the faith, strong people in the Lord, apostles, teachers, ministers, doctors. And I also found out you're going to be meeting with an audience, well, an audience of men are going to be listening, who are pastors and preachers and bishops and even bishop elects, which it happens to be my brethren. When I heard this, I said to myself, oh, no. I thought, oh, gee, God, I can't do this. Let's do it another night, God. It's okay. Let's go another night. But then as I thought a little more, I took hold of that thought because I realized that thought was not a thought from God. I captured that thought. And I erased it from my mind, and I placed in it instead the word of God, which said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do not fear, for I'm with you. Do not be dismayed, for I'm your God. I will help you. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Praise the Lord. So here I am in the glory, in the presence, and in the anointing of God to share and enjoy this time of fellowship and word with you guys. Thank you so much for having me. Let us go into prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come before you now, giving you honor and praise. Lord, you have set this night up and this time up for me to be here and to use me. So I relinquish everything, every thought, God, and turn it over to you and say, take control. Have control in this situation, in this teaching right now. Bless everyone who is out there listening. God, I thank you that you give them a word, especially for them, and something that you want me to say, God, it'll go directly to them. I thank you that no one will leave this session tonight without having getting something from your word and from each other. I thank you for being present, and we welcome your presence in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the first thing I want to do, I want to start off, actually, with a little game. It's very simple, and it's easy. And it involves your thinking pattern, because what we're going to do, we're going to actually, well, I'm going to hold that. We're going to do a little game. What I want you to do, hold on for 1 second. For the next 10 seconds, I don't know if I can just be quiet for 10 seconds, so I don't want to disturb you, but for the next 10 seconds, I just want you, whatever, to just relax and think of something. The first thing that comes to your mind, don't say it, just think. Blank your mind for a second, and then as I count to 10, you think. Let your mind wander and think of whatever it wants to think. And I'm going to go 1, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. In those, my 10 seconds, a thought of some sort should have come to your mind. I want you to remember it because we're not going to talk about it right now. If you have to write down something just to remember what you thought about, that's fine. But think about it. You see, I recently read that a team of psychologists at Queen's University in Canada discovered that the average person has more than 60,000 thoughts a day. 6,000 has more than 1,000 thoughts a day. Now, we go back to 2 Corinthians 10 and verses 5a and verses 6. It says, we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready, we should be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. Let's look at verse 5a. We take thought every captive to make it obedient to Christ. If it's true that we have 6,000 thoughts a day, is it possible that we can take every thought, every one of those 6,000 thoughts, we can get control of them? Think about it. Now, when we think of the word captive, it means to subdue, bring under control. Think about it, and let's talk about it for a brief second. I do have people. Welcome to the people who are listening. So I'm going to teach, but it's actually going to be in an interaction. I expect to hear from you and tell me your thoughts. So can somebody tell me what they think about that? Is it possible? Now, I'm not necessarily talking about the 6,000, but is it possible to take every thought captive? Hello? Hello? Am I on?
You are on.
You are on, but let's introduce who's on the round table so that way you will know who's on. So I would like for everyone to introduce themselves so we can, so Dr. Young will know that you're part of the discussion of today. My name is Kimmy Kim, and just go around accordingly, please.
Pastor Henderson.
Amen. Pastor Michelle Wright.
Amen.
And I guess that leaves me, I think, maybe. First Lady Sharon Richard.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I guess you guys are it. Do you think it's possible to take captive every thought that you think every day, every minute? Think about it. That's a thought right there.
Hmm.
Now, the Bible tells us
that's a good question.
That's a good thing. Think about it. Is it possible?
Hmm.
And if so, how? I can tell you one thing. I am going to talk about it in detail, but I want to hear I want to have interaction. So I want to hear what you have to say. What does God say about it? He says, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, the word says we should be able to do it. So I would say, yeah, it's possible. Nobody ever said it's easy, but I do think it's possible.
Good, okay.
You know, so I think, you know, it probably starts at, you know, some very basic levels because, you know, I know for me, I'm always praying for a clean heart, right spirit, all of that, just to try to get my mind on one accord so that I don't have thoughts that I shouldn't have and it doesn't wander away from what God would want me to do and I don't wander away from what God would want me to say. But in my flesh, I know that sometimes that doesn't always, you know, I don't always succeed because
right.
I allow the enemy to distract me from him.
Mm-hmm.
Not intentionally, but I know that it happens.
It
so
happen.
I do think it's possible, though. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that's one. How about you, Ms. Pat Henderson?
I think in the natural, it seems impossible when you think about it from the natural point of view. But from the spiritual side, the Bible says all things are possible to him that believeth. And I believe that we can through the power of God and the Holy Ghost that it's possible
Amen.
To study our thoughts. It's the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God that lives in us. If everything is filtering through that Spirit, through the Holy Ghost in us, then we should be able to take every thought captive. You should be able, that's a good answer. Anybody can add or subtract? Okay.
I was just
going
to say,
go right ahead.
Okay. I was just going to say that I believe, and I concur with everyone that has spoken, and I do believe that the Lord, because we want to subject our minds to him, that he's able to give us the wisdom for our thoughts. But like Lady Richard said, there are times we are going to mess up. There's times our thoughts are going to happen. But then he does go on to tell us about casting down imaginations and things that anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So I believe he gives us the wisdom and the strength in prayer to do that. And the best way that we know how, as my sister said, spiritually, Pastor Henry.
Amen.
God bless.
Good answers. That's excellent. Very good answers. And we're going to go into this a little more later on, but I wanted to get your... I wanted to just get feedback from you. Have you thought about that? And you're all on the right track, of course, especially knowing that it's possible. It's not always doable like we want it to be, but it's possible, and it gets better each time. And God said all things are possible, and God said his word is true, so God's word is true and all things are possible. So, yes, it can be done. It takes a little time and a little effort and a little time and a little effort, but eventually it can be done, even with the enemy around us. And as Peter said, 1 Peter 1:8 says, the adversary walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour every second he can, trying to infiltrate or to come and mess up things and come against your mind. So you're in a battle. So, yeah, it can be done, and we'll talk about it more. But I say that now we're going to, with what you just said, let's go back for 1 second to what you thought about when I gave you those 10 seconds. If you don't want to talk about what you talked about, you don't have to. But was it in the line? I have to ask this question. Did you think about something? Did something come to your mind? You know, we things will come to our mind without us even wanting to think about it. Something will just pop up in our mind. It's not that we're asking for it to come up. So did you have a chance to think about something? You don't have to tell me what it is, but just say yes or no. No? Nobody thought about anything? You probably wondering what I was doing.
I did.
Okay. Was your thought, now let me ask you a question. Was your thought a thought, I don't want to say good thought or bad thought, but was it a thought that when you think about it again, you would think about it differently? You would have to go and capture the thought and change the thought to the word of God. Not saying it was something that was so bad, you know, or negative, but is it a thought that you could change into the word of God? And I use this example, if you don't understand, I'll use what I said earlier. When I was told I was going to speak, and the first thought that came to my mind is, you can't do this because this is not something you want to do. Don't ask me why it came, but it came. And I thought about it for a second, and I took that thought and said, no, but the word of God says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, that God is on my side. So I changed it. So I'm saying if a thought came into your mind while you were thinking, and then you have the ability, you could change the thought. Okay, maybe not, but think about that from now on. When you have thoughts that pop up in your head, try them, you know, really scrutinize them and say, is that a God thought? Is that something that God would say do, or is that something that I'm just thinking about that I'm being told I can't do, and I'm leaning toward that. I'm going toward that thought and what it's saying. Because at that time, right then and there, if you attach the word of God to what it says, you will erase it and expunge it. And think when the next thought that comes, if you make it a God thought, you actually erase that, take control of that thought, and you pursue the thing that the thought said you couldn't do, if you understand. But now, I say this for this reason. If you're wondering, I say this because as believers, which we all are, and leaders, which we have online, great and mighty men and women in God, you have been chosen to lead. God has, and this is a great, great position. And in this position of that God has assigned to you, it's a divine assignment. you're expected to live according to rules and principles of the Bible. We as leaders set a display of a divine standard for the world to see the reality of God. Jesus said, as believers, we're the salt of the earth, we're the light of the world. He also added that we're to let our light shine before men so that they can see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. Now, these are trying times in the earth, just as Jesus predicted in Luke 21:10-11, the nations would rise against nations and kingdoms against kingdoms and great earthquakes and plagues would come about. And these events are taking place right now. These events should not be a surprise to the Christian. Therefore, we should not be astonished by what is going on. I asked you, how many people are surprised with the things that are happening in the world today? How many people online? Can't get everybody, but how many of you are surprised? Nobody.
I'm not surprised.
Okay. Uh-oh, hold on, my phone just dropped. All right, no one is surprised. So you know that God said this was going to happen, so you anticipate it happened. So if this is the case, when a non-believer walks up to you, or even a believer in Christ who is amazed, astonished, afraid, scared, don't know what to do, maybe someone in their family has gotten this covert, and there's, how do you handle that? How do you handle a person? I'll start with a believer. I can understand a non-believer, but how do you handle another believer who's living a fearful life, whose thoughts are only on the fact that they lost their mother or they lost their father, and I hope it's not being sad, but covert has taken someone out in a family they love, and they don't know what to do. They're scared. How do you handle that as a leader? How do you handle the thoughts that come to your mind and the thoughts that are in their mind? Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it because if you haven't been confronted with it, you're going to be.
Mm-hmm. I just believe this is Pastor Michelle Wright. I was just going to say that it's interesting. We just had a podcast with Nancy on this very thing, controlling our thoughts. And we had a therapist, a national psychotherapist on, and one of the things he said, and we were talking about as leaders in the church, how we know that prayer works, we know that talking to someone works, but making sure that we try our best to reassure them that there is hope, there is something great, especially in our faith, that the Lord loves them. But then there are times when beyond all of that, that someone may need something more, which is one of the things that sometimes in our faith, some churches don't believe, you know, some people believe that praying is enough, and we know that God is able to heal, he can do exceedingly abundantly, but there are times when we do need additional help. So I just want to say first, by loving on them, trying to assure them there is hope, and when there is no hope, or I should say this, when they can't accept that there is hope, then we need to do more and try to see what other resources are available.
Beautiful. Anybody had anything to add? That was beautiful. Anybody have anything to add to that?
I totally agree with that, Pastor. I totally agree with Pastor Wright. And like you said, you have to try different things because everyone is dealing with this pandemic in so many different ways. And I think it's the word of God should be that foundation that you approach every situation with when you're dealing with it. At the same time, you have to use different approaches for different individuals.
Try to reach out
to them in different ways. But the word of God should be that foundational. You know, the foundational layout, so to let them know that all this going on, that they still have a hope in Christ, that God is there, that God is able, you know, to see them through, and in addition to ministering to them, you know, in whatever way, whether it be from the emotional or the spiritual or the natural side, to be able to aid them in those different ways.
and no different. And that is so true. Our words cannot line up with their words. Our words have to line up with the word of God. And so and you can be working with someone, and like someone said earlier, just out of the blue, all of a sudden a thought will come. If you listen to a story long enough and you're really in it and you haven't been praying, you haven't prayed up, well, you can kind of get caught up in it, you know. It's easy, very easy. And we have to capture that thought and realize, nope, I can't go in that direction. I have to go in the direction of the Lord and what God's word says. We have, as believers, we have the answer. We have the answer for the world. We have the answer for believers in Christ who have lost their way and or who just haven't gotten there yet because of things that are holding them down. We have the answer. We are the light of the world. We are a light to them. We have it, and we are to give it to them. And we do. I'm not saying we're not, but we just need to know that we have that. The devil would try to tell us differently, but no, we know who we are in Christ Jesus. We as believers have the answer to give to them, but before we can, we must believe in our heart, and we must, as I said, line our thoughts up with the thoughts of God so we can speak the word of God and see change. We cannot drop, which I don't think we do here, but anyone who's listening, we cannot drop to the believer's level of thinking. We can't get on that plane because then we become in thought plane only like that believer. We end up feeling sorry, and the believers look, and we're both crying together and sobbing together and what have you. And unfortunately, that's not getting us anywhere. We have to stand in the Lord. And like my sister said, give them God, give them the word, pray with them, or whatever else the Lord puts on your heart that you need to do with them.
Mm-hmm.
God has told us, and if you don't know how to think, like, what does God say about thinking, about our thoughts? Anybody know what he, specifically in Philippians, God tells us, first of all, that our thoughts are not his thoughts. But he tells us how to think. That's how good he is. If you can turn to Philippians 4:8, if you have your Bible, turn to Philippians 4:8.
Well, the word says, as a man thinketh, so is he. So our thoughts govern who we are and what we do. So I believe that he wants us to think soberly in him, that we would bear the fruit in the body of Christ as he would do, and to show that as love to all mankind.
That's very true, and you're absolutely right. It's Proverbs 23:7, I believe it is. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. But if you take a look at Philippians 4. Take a look at Philippians 4:8, and what does God say? Paul was saying it in Philippians 4:8. Somebody can read it. Excuse me?
Did you want someone to read it?
No, please. I'm sorry. Yes.
Did you say to read it?
Yes, thank you, Pastor.
Okay. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any praise, and if there be any virtue on these things.
Praise God. And that word virtue means excellence. That's what God is telling us as Christians. That's how he wants us to think. We think, and we can turn every thought around and the thoughts help others turn their thoughts around. If we attach it to one of these in here, what God said, whatever is true, whatever is honest, whatever is just, and that means fair, whatever is whatever things are pure, whatever is lovely, whatever things are of good report. So often we get bad reports. What's a good report? turn the bad report around to a good report. When someone comes and says something that's a bad report or therefore, try to see a good point somewhere in it. You know, and you know what? You don't even have to do anything but ask the Holy Spirit to show you how. Ask God, Holy Spirit, show me what to say to this person. Because Jesus said, the Holy Spirit is our helper. And he said, the Holy Spirit will speak. He'll speak through you. He will speak through you. He will speak of Jesus. He will tell you what to say when you need to say it. He wasn't just talking about back then when Jesus was in his ministry. He was talking about now. If you don't know what to say and you're at a stump as to how should I answer this person, ask the Holy Spirit, and he'll give it to you. And I have to give you a testimony. Recently, I was talking to someone on the phone, and they were very, very, very upset. And they were very, very, very upset. I've said three times, very, very. And I had never seen the person so irate before. And he said, I don't know what I'm going to do, and blah, 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 blah. And so I knew if I said, I knew it wasn't a time to say anything. So I went to the Lord and I said, Holy Spirit, tell me what to say, because I don't want to say the wrong thing and upset them because they're already upset. And I don't want to say something that's not right. And God gave it to me. And the words that I said, because it came from God, calmed them down. They calmed the person down. And they were like, yeah, okay, that sounds pretty good. And I knew that was God. I'm like, okay, that was really God. But God will give you the things to say. The Holy Spirit will speak to your heart. So you don't even have to worry about what to say. You just be a willing vessel to go, be a willing vessel to do, and let the Lord lead you, and he will give you and tell you what to do. But God tells us what to say. When we think, excuse me, what we think, the way we think, has a lot to do on the way we think, and what we say has a lot to do and a great influence on those around us. If we as Christians are siding with the people who are going through a problem, and when I mean siding, I don't mean comforting. Yes, we are to comfort, but we're not to go on the level that they're on in their sorrow. We have to come a step up, and that's not being harsh, but that's giving them the word in love. You're loving on them, but you're not going there with them. You're trying to bring them up in the Lord, and to do that, you have to. If you're there mentally, then you have to ask God to help you, to show you what to say, show you what to do, or the Holy Spirit will also bring the Word of God back into your mind. It'll give you a thought, and as you read and study and the Bible, the Holy Spirit always brings the Word of God to you at the right time. And like Jesus said, if the Holy Spirit comes, he's your comforter, and he will bring everything that he's taught back to remember, that Jesus taught back to remembrance. Every time you're reading the Bible, you're reading the Word of God. You're reading Jesus is the Word of God, so you're actually reading the Word of God. And it'll be brought back to you if you can't remember it. Okay? Does anybody have anything to add?
I think this is a good discussion because we're living in a time where people are hurting and people feel hopeless, and it's so important as believers for us to stay full of the word, like you're saying, so that at any given moment we can be able to have a word to share with someone. And it's kind of interesting that this topic, because on the other day I was in the store and this person came up to me. You know, they heard me praying because someone had called me, and I went to the back of the store so I could pray, because, you know, you pray wherever you are or whatever the need is. So I saw her kind of looking at me at a distance, but I wasn't sure. I thought maybe I was a little louder than I wanted. I thought, oh, maybe I was loud. But it wasn't that. So she kind of followed me around the store, and she said, ma'am, will you pray for me? And she said, I kind of heard you in the background, and when you pray, and she began to tell me what she was going through. And so, you know, you got to always have a word, be ready at all times to be able to deal with whatever the situation someone may come to you with. And I mean, you know, and it was, and so I just say, God, like you said, the Holy Ghost will give you right then. And as I began to talk with her, and I did pray with her, and she said, you know what? She said,
I don't know how you knew, but everything you prayed about was what I'm dealing with. And, you know, so I just, it was nothing but the Lord, because at that moment I said, yes, I will. And I just began to talk to her, and she began to share some things that she was going through. She's new in town, and you know, she's a young lady, and, you know, just the things that she was dealing with. But I praise God for the Holy Ghost, because he will give you how to minister when you stay full of the word and you stay in his presence. And so we as believers have to always stay full of the word and always stay ready to be a ready vessel for God's kingdom.
Absolutely. And my sister said it on the note, if you just be a willing vessel, you just be willing to go. You just be willing to pray. You just be willing to listen. You don't have to do anything. Be willing. God will do the rest. And to add to that, I went out, me and another lady went out evangelizing a couple of weeks ago, and the Lord had us to walk up to people, and it was amazing. We were walking up. We did not get anyone saved that day. No one came. But we met a lot of believers. And when we walked up to them, the Lord has us to say, you know, we just wanted to tell you how much God loves you and how happy it is to be out and to talk to you. And they were like, we're so glad people are talking to us. Oh, it's so nice to talk to people. But just overjoyed, because even though we're going through all of this, people need each other. People don't want to really be stuck in a house, but they're there. But they want to talk. They want to say hi. You'll be surprised. People do want to be friendly and talk to you. So you never know what a person's going through. So when, like my sister, when you prayed, you didn't know what you said. You can't even do it right now to that woman, because you didn't say it. God did through you. He used the vessel. And the pastors that are on, we know we're vessels of God, willing vessels of God. So that's why I said, we are the leaders that God has chosen at this time. But that doesn't make us any greater than anybody, because God will choose, and the Bible used the donkey. So, you know, hey, I mean, you can't get all high and mighty because you're a leader. No, and if you are a leader, act like one and be the leader that God's called you to be. You have been put in place for a reason. Function as the leader of the place that you're put in. You're not there just to shine and say, look at me. You're there to say, look at God. And he gets all the glory and all the credit. So getting back to our cult of the mind, and again, I'm zeroing in on capturing your thoughts. Very important that you begin to think about the things that you say. Think about how you're saying them. Because people look at not only what you think in your mind is what you speak out of your mouth, whether you know it or not. Because your mind formulates your thoughts formulate your actions will formulate your words, and your words will govern and formulate your environment. They will make up your atmosphere. Whatever you say is what's going to be, because you've spoken it. Because your words are light. If they're God's words, they're spirit and light. If they're the enemy's words, they're spirit and death and destruction. So you have a choice of how you want to speak. And as I said, we as leaders, we always have to speak the word of God. And even if we don't catch that thought, we don't capture it like it says, that's okay. God's not going to hold you hostage and be mad at you forever. You just go and the Bible says, ask for forgiveness and move on and learn from it. Okay? So we must take control of our thought life and learn to capture every thought and bring it into obedience. Are there any questions? Anybody have anything they want to share?
I was just going to say that the lesson tonight was really, really good, and I love the way you presented it by giving us the information that you presented. So thank you so very much.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. And again, I thank God for letting me be on here. Thank you for considering me. As I said, it wasn't my choice at first, but I took the word, and that I use it again. The word, I captured that thought and said, you know, God called me to do this, so I'm going to go do it. You know, you put your hand up and say, call. I'll go. God said, who will go? I'll go. And they say, go. You say, oh, no, you have to go if he says go. But I want to talk about one more thing, and that is, excuse me,
I asked you in the beginning when we came on, I asked you, did you think it was possible to capture every thought? And we had some good answers, but now I wanted to give you some scriptures on that. In Ephesians 6:17, it talks about the helmet of salvation. Now, I know everybody has, as pastors, ministers, we've heard it. We know what the helmet of salvation is. We know that it covers our head, our mind. Could you mute? Somebody needs to mute their someone needs to mute their phones. We talk about the helmet of salvation, and it covers the mind and the will and the emotions. Well, it doesn't say that, but in Ephesians 6:17, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is, you know, the word of God. But as it said, the helmet covers the head and houses the mind and the will and emotions. But the helmet of salvation is, even though it says helmet, we're not talking about helmet, salvation. You have to keep in your mind that you are saved. You are saved. You are. You're walking in salvation. So you're being saved every day. So you are being saved, but you belong to God. Point is, you belong to God. You have to keep that in your head. The enemy attacks you in your mind. He comes against your mind, and if your mind is not guarded, it says in Peter, I think it's 1 Peter, guard your mind. It means guard your mind, and you guard your mind with the word of God. The enemy, let me just say this, because of the power of the cross, the enemy no longer has any hold on us. He can't, because he cannot take hold and control of us. The scriptures tell us in Romans 6:10 that he died, talking about Jesus, he died unto sin once, but in that he lives unto God. That's Jesus. In Romans 8:2, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. We don't belong to the devil anymore. We belong to God, and God has made us free. The enemy has no power over us, and because a lot of us don't know that, we give him power. And when we open our mouth because of the way we think, like, oh, the devil's got me. The devil's going to get me today. Oh, my, the devil got me down. He's like, yeah, thank you. You have just given him permission to do that to you. But you say, no, not here. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. No, the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. But no, the devil has no authority over you unless you give it to him. And you need to, I don't mean you need to, but we have to let our believers know that. He doesn't have authority. You give him authority with your mouth. It says in the word of God, Jesus died. He died, and when he died, he took all the authority that the devil had. As you read the scriptures, you meditate on them, you study them, you get them deep inside of you, then the Holy Spirit will give them to you, and you will regurgitate them and speak them up when those thoughts come in your mind, and you can pull that thought down. You have power to pull every thought down, all 6,000 of them when they come. But it takes time. I cannot say I've done that. Nope. I don't think I'm anywhere near 6,000. I'm always asking for forgiveness. But it's there, and it's possible. And the more you go closer to God, the more you are able to more and more be alert and be knowing that what you can do. But it says, the devil knows that most of God's children do not know that he is not in charge. He knows that, and that's how he messes with them. So we must learn to keep our minds girded, to keep the word of God inside of us, to learn the word of God and keep it in our minds. It says in be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Our mind is the battlefield. Our mind is the battlefield where the devil attacks us. That's where he comes in. He attacks you. Now, I want to tell you something. The devil cannot read your thoughts. No, God can read your thoughts, but the devil cannot read your thoughts. But you give him an indication of what you're doing, the way you act, the way you respond to him when he comes into your ear. When he gives you a thought, he puts it in your head, and you go,
oh, yeah, right. He's like, ah, spot on, got her. You know, but you say, oh, no, you're a liar. I rebuke you. Get away. Go back, excuse me, go back where you came, you know, where he comes from. No, no. Then you have let him know, I know who I am in Christ Jesus. But the battlefield is the mind, and that's where the battle is between the devil. If he can get your mind, he's got everything else. But your mind belongs to God. You have the mind of Christ. And when you begin to speak that word, you begin to study it, your mind becomes sharper and sharper and more like God. And you become more like God in the mind. You do, because you're speaking God's word. So renew your mind continuously. It's not something you do today and don't do tomorrow. Every day salvation is a part. You're walking in your salvation. So every day your mind needs to be renewed. Maybe not with the same word, but every day you're learning something new. You might say, well, I can't learn that whole Bible. Here's what you do. Every situation that confronts you, that's the situation you go after in the Bible. If you need some money, well, you go after the God, I have no money. And I'm using money because money just came to my mind. So you say, what does God's word say about it? The devil's like, you're never going to have no money, honey. What does God's word say? It says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to give you a future, plans to give you hope, plans to prosper you. It says, God will never leave you nor forsake you. He will supply all of your needs. Okay, well, God, I need some money. I need some money. God will give you the money. You say, well, I know my God's going to supply my needs. God's going to supply those needs because you believe it. Because you have the word. And the devil's like, yeah, well, I don't see nothing coming in yet, sister. But God said, as Jesus said, it is written. And you can say to the devil, it is written. It is written. Jesus told him three times when he came to get the stones and all the glory and throw yourself down. Jesus said, it is written. And you say, because you have the same power in you, the same resurrection power that Jesus had. You say it is written, and get the devil off your tail, because you belong to God and nobody else. You are his child, and he has a work for you to continue doing. He's called you to be a leader. Be the leader that he's called you to be. You're doing a great job. Continue. Renew your mind to the word of God and reject any doubt that arises from circumstances. If you're in a situation and the circumstances are getting you down, and I know I only got like 2 minutes, so I'll try to hurry up. I got like a couple more. Reject the circumstances that are contrary to the word of God. Don't look at things with the natural eye. I mean, when I say that, you see them, but see them from the spiritual eye, because you're a spirit. What did Jesus say? He said that they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. When you receive Christ Jesus in your life, you already were a spirit, but you became a spirit man. Your spirit now connects with God's spirit. You're in fellowship with him. You're spiritually connected to God. You're in fellowship. So now you see, do, and act things from the spirit world. You live in this world, but you're not of this world. So you have access to God and to the spirit realm. And that's where we operate from. But I'm going to move on. But you begin to say, no, I know who I am. All right. So reject any circumstances. When circumstances come, see them. You see them. But, hey, see them from the natural eye. And let God show it to you, because it's from the devil. All right. Eternal perspective, and then that goes to say you're eternal. You know, Jesus said, God said, he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes on him shall not die but have eternal life. You had eternal life the day you received Christ. You received your eternal life. So you don't have to die to get it. You already have it, okay? It don't die. Your body dies. Your spirit does not die. All right. Remember that the victory is already accomplished. If you remember these things, you can say the words of God to capture every thought. The victory is already won. It's already accomplished. Finally, find your hope in God, and that's where it is. Your hope is in God. The scripture, Psalm 93 says, whom have I in heaven but you? Besides you, I desire nothing on earth but God.
you have God. Jesus purchased our salvation. He purchased it. He purchased it. We have it. The devil cannot take it away. He can't take our salvation away, but he can try to give us a hard time. So we'll fight back. All right. With that, I'm gonna. It's exactly 11 o'clock, so I'm going to have to stop. Do you have any questions? Do you have any comments, any concerns? Are you there?
This was a really beautiful lesson. Amen. Talking about our thoughts and taking them captive is really good, because we really need to be mindful of that, especially because of the time that we're living in, and not allow fear to captivate our thoughts and our minds, because it makes us ineffective when we witness it to other people. If we are releasing the report that the world is giving out, then when we speak, then we're speaking the negativity just like they're speaking, and we should be a difference. We shouldn't be influenced by the world.
Absolutely. Praise God. Praise God. Well, with that, anybody have any questions? No questions? All right. Well, if there's no questions, it's 11 o'clock. And Pastor, are you on? Nope, nobody's on but us. Okay, now I'm not sure what we do here.
I'm on.
Dr. Kim, are you on? Okay, who else is on?
I'm sure she's... Pastor Michelle Wright, I'm here with you guys.
Pastor Michelle.
I am here. I mean, I was muted. I was talking at the same time and muted. It was a great discussion. I was just gluing to your lesson. Like Pastor Michelle said, beautiful, well done, well studied. And no, I really believe that yeah, our thoughts are important. And yes, I'm going to unmute Pastor Bishop Elette, and Apostle Self is on. And if you guys would like to have your input before we have a closing prayer, do you have someone to close us out in prayer, Dr. Booker?
I do not. Does someone want to volunteer? I'll do it. But if I get a volunteer, I'm always willing to let a person have a chance.
I'll give it to Pastor Wright. But before she does that, I'm going to bring in the fellas. My fellas, how are you guys doing?
Come on, brethren. I'm going to go dead last.
I believe that's the apostle. No, you know what? Maybe there was an apostle. I'm sorry. There's another 203 number, so I'm not sure who that is.
Not sure who exactly is.
Yeah, it may be someone else with the 203 number. So,
Pastor Whitlow,
the
Pastor
ball
Smithy,
is in your hand.
Guys here? Okay, maybe they're not here. All right, well, thank God for the lesson on today. And it's important to gird up the loins of your mind to capture your thoughts, because even as the scripture says, the weapons of our warfare and not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down strongholds. And we are, I think I heard, I'm not sure who said it, but I heard somebody say, I think it was Pastor Henderson that said it, that we are in a day and age where the thought process seems to be escaping us as believers. I share something with you. This actually happened on TikTok. A young lady, tried to make the comment, and I put it on Facebook for those that needed or wanted to see it, tried to make the comment that the Bible was advocating the killing of homosexuals. And I had to go back and help the young lady understand, A, number one, the Bible was not advocating the murdering of homosexuals. Under the law said, and y'all already know what the law said, that if a man was caught lying, and it wasn't just man, it was in Leviticus, whether it was man or beast, either were caught, if you were caught lying with another man or another woman or beast, you would be put in a pit, you would be stoned till you die. And that was the law. And I tried to point out to her that we are now under grace. Here's where I say we got to capture the thoughts of our minds, because it is an extremely, it's baffling to me that in the TikTok feed, I think I had about 8 or 9 people that were under the impression that we were still living under the law. And I had to point out to them, you cannot live under the law because the law basically was your schoolmaster. It taught you the wrongs that you were doing, helped you to see clearly the wrongs that you were doing. And you had to thank God for grace. The bottom line I'm saying is this. We have to capture the thoughts. We have to, because when you don't understand scripture, my thing, I say this respectfully because I've heard a few teachers, if you want to call them that, on the same feed, TikTok and on Instagram, who are spewing their own personal opinions about certain things. Sir, ma'am, whoever you are, if it doesn't line up with scripture, please be quiet. That's all I'm going to say. Please be quiet. And I'm saying that for this reason, because we're in a day and age where there are people who are actually hungry for the word, want to know what the word is. They want to know how to walk in righteousness and how to walk in rightness. And here you are with your crazy self just saying any old thing you can find just to sound impressive. We are not here, and I like what you said, Dr. Booker, we're not here to impress. We're here to impact. There's a difference between impressing and impacting. When you're impressing, you're trying to garner favor and accolades. But when you're impacting, your point and purpose is to change a life in some way, shape, form, or fashion. I'm going to stop right there. Good lesson. I'm going to step back and continue to listen. It's ladies' night. You've heard enough out of me, and I'm done. So God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor. That's my big, that's my little brother, everybody.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Okay. Yeah, that's my little brother, my little big brother. All right, we're done. I will pray us out. If nobody wants to, oh, not much. I know you like not much.
Oh, Heavenly Father, I gave it to Pastor. Oh, I'm sorry.
No,
I asked Pastor Wright to do it since you did so much wonderful talking. I was going to. Yes.
Go ahead. It's all yours. I apologize.
No problem. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for this hour. We thank you for all that we have heard, all that we have learned. God, we ask that the word be applied to all of our hearts and our minds, that we may be able to enrich what you want us to do in this life, oh God. I thank you for our teacher on tonight. I ask that you will bless her. I ask that you will bless her family. Thank you, Lord, for her and her gifts. I thank you for everyone on the line, everyone that will listen to the replay. Thank you for our visionary and CEO, Dr. Kimmy Robinson. Thank you for Elder Ernest Richard and Lady Richard and all that are on the line. Father, we just give you glory because when it's all said and done, we still glorify you even in the midst. Thank you for Pastor Henderson. Thank you, oh God, for the lives that are going to be changed from hearing this podcast. We ask that it be used for your glorification and that you will be honored and lifted up. We ask that you forgive us all of our sins and we forgive others that we may be forgiven. You are God and you are God alone. Thank you for a servant's heart, Father, that we may serve you and that your glory, your power may enrich this world that they will know that you yet still live and we move and have our being in you. And thank you for all unspoken requests. Have your divine will and way. As it said, forgive us of our sins and we forgive others. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
And amen. 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 Well, good night, everybody.
Good night and great discussion on the mind because the mind is definitely important. That's where everything begins. Everyone have a great evening.
Thank you.
God bless everybody.
God bless. God bless you, sweetie.
All right. Good night.
The diamond that was in the ring. He told you that you were his queen. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.